And every evil in your life, regardless of its nature, regardless of its depth, regardless of how long it has caused you to suffer, is but a thorn in your consciousness. You can turn within to your consciousness, resting in the quiet, in the realization of your identity. And as you rest in that realization that I am spirit, and therefore there is only one law for me, one substance for me, one activity for me, and that is spirit, you are approaching the perfect prayer. I am spirit, my neighbor is spirit, there are no conditions other than perfection in spirit, and you are recognizing that only spirit is. You are recognizing the omnipresence of God, the omnipresence of spirit, that there is only one substance in the universe, and its name is God, spirit. And this is all done within your consciousness, so that it becomes a conscious awareness of spirit, deepening until you have a spiritual consciousness, a Christ consciousness, that only the Spirit of God is. And now that faith comes forth to trust that Spirit. That understanding comes forth to know that only the perfection of spirit can be there if only spirit is there. You come to the realization that perfection is all that exists in the entire universe. As a human, if you were given your choice and the opportunity to improve the world and were given 10 suggestions, you would sit down for hours and mull it out and come forth with 10 great ideas to improve the world. Spiritual perception tells you there is nothing that can be improved. You are living in the universe of perfection now. And only your consciousness of spirit as your identity, only the stone, the Christ consciousness, that I am the Spirit of God, and beside me there is no other. My spirit is the only spirit. And you have overcome the belief in a material world with material conditions, with material people, with material objects, with material powers, with material diseases, with material evils, by coming to the understanding that only God is, only spirit is, only I am. What is there besides spirit? Nothing. What is there to fear? Nothing. Why do we fear? Because we have insisted that besides spirit there is a material world. We still have the brass and the iron and the clay, which Daniel revealed to Nebuchadnezzar is destroyed, broken by Christ consciousness. We have the secret of the Bible, have we not? We have the secret that we ourselves have striven to find. And our turning to our own consciousness is to follow in the footsteps of those before us who have demonstrated that wherever there is an individual who has reached the level of knowing, understanding, accepting, and trusting himself or herself to be a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe under spiritual law, that individual walks free of the discords of this world. Difficulties, yes. But only to deepen the Christ consciousness, to strengthen the faith, to prevent the possibility of turning back into a material consciousness when it is seen through experience that the presence of Christ realized destroys the temporal kingdoms of the earth. No, God is not with mortals, and therefore I, to be the child of God, must recognize that neither am I with mortals. God is not in the human scene, and therefore I, the child of God, cannot be in the human scene. I must live in my consciousness. For that consciousness is the stone. It is the secret of secrets. It is the open sesame which lifts you out of a temporary lifespan into the realization now of a different life which is independent of the material world. It doesn't depend on the material world for its food or sustenance. You are not living by bread alone. Now, the gap has always been that we are seeking God. And here comes another wisdom that says to seek God is not the way. Imagine saying that to the world. To seek God is not the way. Why? Because the one who's seeking God is separate from God and is not accepting God's substance as their own substance. To seek God is the way of the mortal, the way of mankind. And in seeking God, we have two-ness. In accepting God as your substance, that I and the Father are one substance, we have oneness. There's no stone in two-ness. The stone is this very oneness. This stone is the Messiah, the Savior in your midst. I in the midst of thee am the stone. I am the secret of Daniel, the secret of Jesus, the secret of Paul, the secret of Joel, the secret of every prophet who heard the voice. And as you accept yourself to be I, and you of your own human self do nothing, taking no thought, then you're letting God live your life. And that's what we're here to do. We would all find ways of changing this world. But God isn't. God isn't changing this world. Why do we want to change what God isn't changing? So we learn the better way, the way of truth, to see through the illusion of this world. And then we know why God isn't changing it, You cannot change what is not here. You cannot change nothing. And we who would change the world and know not God, when we know God aright and learn there is no world to change, then we are ready to let God live our life, because there never was a mortal me. There is only the Spirit of God. Do you see the crucifixion of the personal self that must come with the realization of the stone? That if I be the invisible Christ of God, I cannot be the physical mortal. And so he says, I tell you the great secret of life, God is not with mortals. Take it from there. It's very likely that no one really doubts himself or herself to be that Spirit of God, that substance called the Christ. That very stone plays an important part in the New Testament, you see. When Jesus named Simon Peter, he had been called the Christ by Peter, and he said, and I call thee Petra, the rock, the stone. The Christ consciousness, which recognizes the Christ. The rock, the stone, the invisible truth of all being. That's why we have a New Testament. To bring out the new man, the new creature, who recognizes that only the substance of God exists. No other substance. And our recognition of the all substance of God as the only substance is really the recognition of omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. But that is my substance. And I'm in oneness again. I need no words now, no thoughts. We have transcended the need for words. We have transcended the need for human thinking. We can abide in that deep well of silence, which is in the very center of your consciousness. And there my peace transforms that visible, tangible world of good and evil, dissolving material substance, lifting us into the realm of my Father's Spirit, where there is no time nor space, but only being, where only God is. And where the Son dwells in the Father, motivated by the Father, moving, having his being in oneness with the Father, under the Father's love. You will do that when you accept yourself to be the substance of God. And every time you find yourself not accepting yourself to be the substance of God, you are dividing God into pieces. You are saying God is no longer infinite. God is no longer all. God isn't everywhere. For here am I, and I am not his substance. Even to hear these words today or to read them in a book is part of a spiritual impulse that is coming through all of us, lifting us out of our own false material concept of life, lifting us out of this belief in a lifespan of a beginning in form, a growing in form, and an ending in form. We are seeing ourselves as life and not sowing to the form. We are accepting God's word because we can only take dominion over our world if we have a full understanding of the word consciousness. I'm led to dwell there and to explain that it is necessary not to witness perfection in the outer world as we may have been doing, but to witness perfection in your consciousness. You see, all activity is directed to your consciousness. So that, to give a specific example, if instead of going out into the world to correct a condition, you go to your own consciousness, it is there that you consciously recognize that only spirit exists, and spirit is perfect, and therefore, because perfect spirit is all that is there, and you are conscious of that, nothing else can be there. You're not trying to do something about a material condition. You're rising above that temptation and resting in your consciousness to see that a material condition is hypnosis, because the full realization is that all material conditions are hypnosis. Now, it isn't that they're there to be changed. It's that they appear to be there. And we could probably spend several hours just reviewing how they appear to be there. But by now, all of us realize that they are images of a universal mind sent through to our individual mind, and we merely affirm without knowing why, and then outpicture these universal images, calling them the world. Now, your consciousness, then, is the place where you overcome the world, whatever it is that needs overcoming is overcome in your consciousness of truth. And that is deeper than the affirming of truth with your lips. Now, there is a place for that affirming, but it's only the beginning. You must then come to the place where you know, you accept, you feel that God is present, and the presence is real and living in your consciousness. So that you're not walking this universe hoping to find God somewhere, but are accepting the presence of God as the kingdom of your own being. And this is the release from the darts of the world's mind. You're in a new kind of stillness. A new kind of you. A new dimension of your own self. You're really in the place where you believe that what was taught on earth as the New Testament has a significance which you trust. Where you believe that the Word of God was revealed and that it says the kingdom of God is within you. And when you rest there in your consciousness, you are one and harvesting the infinite. All of the power of the infinite is flowing through infinite consciousness, individualizing as your consciousness. And it is this knowledge of it, and acceptance of it, and trust of it, and identifying as it, which lets you above every error that stands at the doorstep of your false human consciousness. It does lead to miracles. It leads to miracles which are not possible any other way. So we have the miracle of Jesus walking out upon the water and saying to the storm, "It is I, be not troubled." And the storm subsides. The very last wisdom in this chapter is if it happens in time and space, it isn't there. How do you stop a storm? What power could you use mentally? Can you enter the mind of the storm and overcome the mind of it? What physical power can you use to stop a storm? No mind, no might, no power. But by my spirit, yes. How? If you are spirit, if you have been willing to release the concept of matter, where is the storm? And so you find the storm is a concept that exists in the mind of man, seemingly external, but where is it? It is a universal belief shared by individual minds. Did God put a storm there to swallow up an ocean liner? Then who put it there? Who has the power to put a storm there? You see, it's happening in time and in space. And having accepted the illusion of time and the illusion of space, everything that happens in time and space has a substructure of illusion. And so the Master lifts us out of the illusion of time and space to show us that the only activity in God is in eternity, in infinity. And our fragmented concepts of eternity become time. Of infinity becomes space. But we have removed ourselves from the reality. And we're in a cosmic illusion of time and space, and all that happens in it is naught but a universal mind belief shared by the multitude. Your own spiritual being must be seen in its wholeness, not in time, not in space. And the two spiritual exercises that you will find very useful as an expansion of consciousness are one, that as long as I live and function out of a human mind, I can only function in the time and space which those who are enlightened have brought to the world as illusion. And as long as I function in a human form, which entered into time and space and will depart from time and space, I live in the dream, which is not the life of God. I am not in God. I am not living and having my being in God. I am not acknowledging the Father in all my ways. I am not one with the Father. And I am a branch that must be cut off. I must rise then out of a mortal mind and out of a mortal body. My consciousness of spirit is the way. I must rise from mind to soul. And the exercise of rising from mind to soul is very simple. I take the soul as the object of my meditation. And I literally seek to release myself from the activity of the mind, rising to a place where I do not control the activity. Rising to a place that is beyond personal control. Where the soul itself looks into the true universe. Where I become unable to think. And that exercise of rising to soul in every way I know how, and the other exercise of widening my understanding of my spiritual self to never behold myself mentally as a form, whether it be of matter or of light, but to expand beyond all known horizons and to see that spirit has an infinity which prohibits the possibility of beginning or ending in time or in space. And I am that infinite spirit. And again, this lifts me beyond the place where I control anything. I decentralize all attempt to control, both physically and mentally. I release myself to my identity. And in these two exercises, it doesn't take very long before, having released identity as person, as mind, as body, there is a new level of intelligence that enters and begins to assert itself. It's a kind of freedom. You have absolutely no personal responsibility of any kind at that level. You have no personal responsibility in Christ consciousness. The Father liveth my life. Christ liveth my life. There is no human self to have responsibility. There is a total submission to the highest self. And the laws of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence take over, fulfilling the life of the Father. You feel His flow. You feel His release. You find the ultimate freedom. Laying down your personal life. Now, Jesus had gone so far in that direction that even His body appeared to be walking on the water. Stilling the storm. But it was the consciousness of His omnipresence which appeared walking on the water. It was the consciousness of omnipotence and the allness of perfection which revealed that there was no storm there to drown anyone. It wasn't a revelation, a miracle of stopping a storm. It was a revelation of the non-existence of destruction of any nature, of materiality of any nature, of the only existence of spiritual perfection in all things wherever the spiritual consciousness is. He was revealing for one and all the perfect present kingdom of God, where only the law of perfection is at work. We can accept this. In this higher consciousness, it takes no effort whatsoever to accept this. And this becomes part of your permanent consciousness. Now take inventory, and you'll see that if you still cling to the belief that imperfection exists around you, in the world, and in yourself in some way, that these are thoughts that you entertain, and these thoughts can be removed. And you will find when the thoughts are removed that that's all that the conditions you thought were there really were. They were nothing more than your thought. And your thought is always denying that perfection is present. Always our thought is sense-based to deny the presence of perfection. And the senses are anchored in time and space. There is nothing you can experience through the senses that is not in time or space. And so as long as you're sense-based, mind-based, you're in time and space, and that's the very essence of the great wisdom, that if it takes place in time and space, do not accept it at its appearance value, but search deeper in the realm of soul. Now, does anyone have a question from the floor about any of this that is disturbing them? It is important that you get it for this reason. It is the way to Christ consciousness, and Christ consciousness is the way to freedom, to life that does not end, to life that is continuous in the Father's perfection. These are no longer dreams for us. They are realities. Now, in New Horizon and New Jerusalem, we cannot dwell anymore in the letter of truth. In order for us to really appreciate the scope of those chapters, we must be living in the God experience before we come to those chapters. Because the God experience alone gives you the capacity to understand the fullness of the meaning behind these two chapters. That means for this entire week, your goal should be to live in the knowledge that no matter what you see, hear, touch, or smell, or taste, no matter what you read, no matter what you're told, no matter what your good common sense tells you is happening in the world, you must go deeper and accept that only invisible perfection can be present because spirit alone is living itself everywhere behind the complete human scene. And that you touch this spirit by your consciousness of it. And through your consciousness, it merges into you and comes forth into visibility, dissolving the imperfections that concern you. You must be living in that consciousness. The consciousness of the miraculous ever-present, the ever-immaculate, the untouchable, the God universe that no one can see is all that is here, functioning, and there is no power on earth to prevent it from being here, functioning now. That's the universe I am living in this week. It's the universe we should have been living in these last 20,000 years. We must come to the place where we're consciously living in that universe, that inner universe, that universe where we are not hypnotized by the appearances. And then from it comes the experience of God's presence, which gives you the courage and the understanding to walk in a completely different universe than this world is showing to us, right here and right now. Then the chapter New Horizon will not make your heart palpitate or change the shade of your hair overnight. There must be a preparation for that chapter. For only the Christ consciousness in you will accept that chapter. Please read it. And with your knowledge of self, let your self explain it to you, not the conscious human mind, but the invisible infinite mind. And don't be surprised at what you hear. Now, for those of you who want to really prepare for that Christ consciousness which is on earth, permeating those who are ready, you would read this next chapter in preparation, and for the following week, this coming week, you would take these wisdoms, a page in the morning, page at night, page in the morning, a page at night. If you have a job to go to, give yourself 10 minutes to type out the page. Take it with you. Put it in your purse. Put it in your billfold. When you have your coffee break, take it out and look at it again. Make it yours so that by the end of the day, you know the meanings, and they have seeded out and opened up inside you and taken root, and you have at least worked with them. And then let yourself accept them. For this is the word. When you have done this sufficiently, even though you may have already done it, you will be prepared to accept a new depth in that chapter, New Horizon. And all of this is all about your being, yourself, the self of you which can walk out on the water and say to the storm, "Peace be still, it is I." Because that was you who walked out there. It wasn't Jesus. It was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that the world calls Jesus. But you are the Spirit of God, as He was the Spirit of God, as I am the Spirit of God. And I, the Spirit of God, must live in my spiritual universe, or I am separated from it and moving through the karma of a non-existent world. The Adam dream. All that you must find then, and all that you must do, is to dwell within your own consciousness. Your consciousness is where the issues of life are met. Not in time, not in space, not in the outer. And you can make that consciousness a blackboard, if you will. And remember that one will write on that blackboard, the world or the Father. If your blackboard is written on by the world, you will experience conditions of the world. If your blackboard is written on by the Father, you will experience divine realizations. You have the power to stand there and in your consciousness alone to determine your complete universe. To reject the world's thought, to open, to permit only divine thought to write on your blackboard. And as you have the integrity to turn from all world thought consciously, whether you're voicing it or the world through you, letting only the Father write on the blackboard of your consciousness, you will find your world transformed into the kingdom of God on earth. We all have this power, this dominion. And the only way we have dominion over land, sea, and air, literally, is because land, sea, and air is concept. And spirit is all that is, where land, sea, and air appear to be. Read you the first wisdom in Joel's words and ask you to weigh it in light of what has been heard today. Begin your spiritual life with the understanding that all conflicts must be settled within your consciousness. And the second, there is never a conflict with person or condition, but rather a false concept mentally entertained about person, thing, circumstance, or condition. Therefore, make the correction within yourself rather than attempting to change anyone or anything in the without. And finally, the third, acknowledge God as the substance of all that is. 1, 2, 3. Whoever takes these to heart will find that the wisdoms that are in the book can also come through your enlightened consciousness. You have heard about the stone which the builders of this world rejected, but make it the cornerstone of your consciousness. It is the miracle worker of life eternal. I expect you to appear here next week, if you do, wearing your spiritual consciousness and not a human one. You'll need it